As an introduction to this sermon, I've asked Ellen to just play a little stanza and just see if you know the words behind it. Thank you. Does that ring a bell? It's not a quiz. But count your blessings one by one. And it used to be in our hymnal. It used to be in our hymnal many years ago. I asked Mr. Steve Myers. It's actually in the public domain. I asked Mr. Steve Myers if we could sing it. He said, and asked him, well, you were coordinating putting together the hymnal. How come it's not there? He said, well, because when we had a committee and the people voted for different songs, and the ones that had the most votes are the ones that were there. And he said it was not any reason why it should be there, but it just didn't have, you know, they wanted a certain number of songs in the book, and that's the way it worked out. So there's nothing wrong with that song. I've asked him if we could sing it. And so today, at the end of services, we'll sing it just to complement the service. But the songs, the words are, when upon life's billows, and I'm not going to sing it to you because you'd probably walk away. But when life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. And when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Brethren, today I want to talk to you about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Because indeed is an offering to God, giving thanks. And it is well pleasing to God, as we'll see, because it's a sweet aroma to God when we do give thanks. And so, brethren, are we grateful to God for our many blessings? You know, in this country, brethren, we have been very, very blessed. There's the blessings that we've had in this country. We can see them, for instance, in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to ask you to turn there very briefly. Deuteronomy 28. But we owe these blessings, obviously, to God's loving kindness and mercy, but also because they were part of the promise given to Abraham. Deuteronomy 28. And yeah, we see in Deuteronomy 28, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe careful all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And so it goes on. God has promised blessings to us. And blessings, brethren, in some of us, sometimes, might not just be physical. It can be in many other areas. In many other areas. Particularly because we live in this society, in this world, blessings can be in many other areas. But to this society, for instance, you and I look at this country, and if you go to other countries, or when you do go to other countries, and I don't mean just going to Europe, because Europe is, in a sense, a first world society. But you go to other countries, you then realize how blessed we are. How blessed we are. Brethren, it is, we are very, very blessed, physically speaking. But God does promise in the same chapter, starting in verse 15, He said, but it's one of the small words in English, but it has a very powerful meaning. But it shall come to pass if there's another small word in English which has a powerful meaning. But and if you do not obey the voice of the Eternal, your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then he says, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. And so it goes on. Once again, why these curses? Well, it says there in verse 15. But look also at verse 45. Because after enumerating all these curses, in verse 45 says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. Now, brethren, we have been blessed, but we have not obeyed God as a nation. So, even though this is in the law, you could deem it as a prophecy. And it says, they will overtake you and pursue you until you are destroyed. Powerful words. Why? Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. Verse 47. Again it says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything we have received. And in a way of saying it, joy and gladness of heart, you could actually say, because you're not grateful. Because when you're joyful and glad in your heart, you're ever so grateful. So we need to obey and serve God and do it with joy and gladness for the abundance of everything we've received. But the problem with the human proclivity is that you and I forget how we have been blessed. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. You can get in a car, you can put on the heater, and it's nice and warm in a cold weather, and other things. You got your heater at home, and you can organize your temperature at home to be right. You know, other people, they live in situations where it gets very hot or very cold. In some third world, in many third world countries, they don't have air conditioning. And they don't have heat in their houses. I remember when we lived in South Africa. There was no central heating. And South Africa is a mixture of first and third world. And in the first world houses, there was no central heating. And in winter, it does get below freezing point. It does get very cold, as I was mentioning to somebody early on today. Very cold in the early mornings. And very dry. It does warm up during the day. Oh, it's beautiful towards mid-afternoon. It warms up to maybe as much as like 50s, 60s. But then in the evening, it goes to 30s or below 30. And you don't have central heating. So it's cold. And yeah, so you got these little space heaters, you know, a little one here, another one there. And then what do? You get out of bed, and you're freezing because you can't keep those space heaters going all night because, you know, it you know, one is danger and the other one is, and if you do, you make sure you put some water in front of it, otherwise it dries your hair and things like that. You've got to be very careful. And then you've got to take it to where you're going to have a shower and things like that. Yes, at least there's hot water, but it still feels cold when you come out of the shower and the environment is not warmed up. So, you know, we have many blessings, simple things that we take for granted, but we need to count them one by one. We need to count them one by one. And therefore, if we don't count them one by one and don't have that joy and gladness, it actually is a sin. Because that is one of the reasons why they're being cursed. So let's look at some psalms, a few of the psalms, with some principles about thanksgiving. In Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17. For you, God, formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. Are we grateful right from the beginning how God made you and I so wonderfully made, and how everything, if we look after it, and under all other situations that we don't tamper and damage it, how wonderfully made we are, and how things work. You know, we look at some of the young people, like we have this young lady that is having problems with this disease and continuous pain. But that, are we grateful when we look at that, for little things like that, that we are so wonderfully made and we created with such great care that it just works? You know, it's so nice when you see the little child and they just start crawling and they look at their hands, and then they look at the little things up there, and they start focusing. They see mommy and daddy's face and then a little smile. It's so wonderfully made. Count your blessings one by one. Look at verse 14. I'll praise you. In other words, I'll give you thanks. I'll thank you, praise, giving God thanks. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Yeah, we made in secret in our mother's wombs, but God knew what he was doing right there. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. God planned for it all. God planned for it all. The days fashioned me for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. So we can count blessings from the smallest little things that affect us, whether it's health, whether it is things that have been blessed, could be our jobs, could be our families, could be our children. But what is the biggest blessing? Being called into God's church. And understanding that we have been predestined, as we heard in the sermonette, we've been predestined to be, from the foundation of the world, to be sons and daughters of God. That's what we've been predestined for. That is what God's got in mind for us, to be his own children. So that is a lot to be thankful for. Look at Psalm 42, verse 11. Psalm 42, verse 11. Psalm 42, verse 11. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why do we have anxiety? Sure, there are a lot of things ahead in the world that can give us anxiety. And why are you disquieted within me? But you know, we're not. We need to put the hope in the right place. You know, our hope is not to immigrate to XYZ country where we're going to find a place of safety. Our hope is God. He's our rock. It says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Our encouragement, our help comes from God. Look at Psalm 107, verse 1. 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You know, brethren, I admit, I need to think more of this. Because when I give a sermon, it's not just for you, it's for me too. And that's why it's good to review these on a regular basis. We need to give thanks to God more frequently and more often. Maybe we do it every day in our prayers. But we need to be thinking about those details one by one. For His mercy endures forever. God's mercy endures forever. He forgives you and I forever. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood to forgive us forever. That's a great blessing for us to be grateful. Look a little bit further down in verse 10 of the same chapter. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought them down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. In other words, here's the situation of people. They had sinned, and they were in trouble. They were in the ditch. Which one of us hasn't been in the ditch? We all have been in the ditch. Maybe some of our ditches, ones are bigger than others, but we all have been in the ditch. And we cannot judge and criticize somebody else for being in the ditch. Then, when we're in the ditch, verse 13, and when we cry out to the Lord in our trouble, He saves us out of our trouble. Yes, might not be immediate. Might not be like a magic wand. But over time, He opens a little door, and as you walk the correct way and you keep doing it, He opens another door, and then He opens another door, and then He helps you out of that distress. He helps you and helps me. Helps us out of that ditch. That is something to be grateful and to count the blessings one by one. He forgives us. Look at verse 15. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Oh, that man would thank God for all the goodness that God does to us and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we just give thanks with joy and gladness from our heart for the abundance of everything He's given to us. Look at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. We all were fools when we did things wrong. I was a fool when I do things wrong. I'm a fool. When we say things that we shouldn't say, I'm a fool. We all are. We all fall into that ditch. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then, verse 19, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. When we're in the ditch and we look at it, we got an opportunity to come to God and repent and ask for help, and He will help you and me. And He saved them out of their distress. He sent His word and healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice. What? The sacrifices of thanksgiving. Giving thanks is a sacrifice. And declare His works with rejoicing. In other words, joy and gladness. We need to give sacrifices of thanksgiving. Do we give thanks? Do we thank God? Look at Psalm 136. Psalm 136. It's an amazing song. Well, it is a song. And it's like, it says one thing and then it's got a chorus. And it says another thing and then it's got the chorus. Maybe it does not rhyme so well in our language. But it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord for His good. For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. For His mercy endures forever. That's like the chorus. For His mercy endures forever. Think about a song, and there's this chorus. You know, maybe you're singing, somebody says, like a one person singing, and then there's a chorus on the background. For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords. For His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone does great works. For His mercy endures forever. You can imagine just how beautiful song that would make. You can kind of make it rhyme. This is some work for somebody of that talent to actually get a song out of this. It would be beautiful. It says, to Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. Can you see the psalmist here is actually counting things one by one. And giving God thanks for His mercy endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made great lights, for His mercy endures forever. To the sun to rule the day, for His mercy endures forever. To the moon and stars to rule the night, for His mercy endures forever. And so it goes on. Can we enumerate our blessings and offer God the sacrifice of thanksgiving? God remembered us when we are nothing, when we are in the ditch. And He pulled us out of the ditch. Brethren, we're all in the ditch, in the past or whatever. But God wants you out of the ditch. His mercy endures forever. Don't allow your mind to run you down. You know, with God's help, do what you can. Even if it's not perfect, God sees the heart. Next time you do a little bit better, God sees the heart. But keep doing. Don't give up. Persevere till the end. For His mercy endures forever. It really is a beautiful, beautiful psalm here. God forgave us while we were sinners. He called us while we were sinners. He led us to repentance while we were sinners. For His mercy endures forever. He gave us His truth, His precious truth, for His mercy endures forever. He gave us His understanding of the days ahead, of prophecy, what's going to happen, because He cares for us. But that's a blessing, that we need to count His blessings one by one, because His mercy endures forever. He's cleansing us daily in our lives as we strive through our difficulties. And then you say, I've messed again. I've slipped up again. And then you and I get on our knees at home in a private area and you say, Father, please forgive me. And yes, I admit. You confess to God. Don't confess to man. Confess to God. And God, who hears in secret and sees your repentant attitude, will forgive you. Because He's merciful. And then you give God thanks for forgiving you. Because you have to walk in faith. You know, the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You realize, I've got to do correct, I've got to repent. I've got to come to the merciful seat of God in a new and living way, as you read in Hebrews 10, round about verse 20 or so, right? Or 21. In a new and living way, through Jesus Christ, our High Priest, and mercy is extended. Then we have to walk in faith, believing that God has forgiven us, and walk straight, yes, in justice, mercy, and faith, the weightier matters of the law. And regrettably, many people get caught up in picky points. Oh, well, this, whatever it is. Picky points. Self-righteous. The way I look at them, it's self-righteous. No wonder Christ said to them, you bunch of hypocrites. We've got to be careful, brethren. When we start picking up little things, and we start criticizing little things, be careful that we're not becoming self-righteous. The other day I heard a situation, I don't want to discuss the detail, but it was something that somebody didn't want to do something, whatever. And it basically, my wife was talking to that person and I said, but come on. And this was a picky little point of self-righteousness. I don't want to get into details because then people start questioning, well, was this or that, doesn't matter. The point is, it's for us to analyze ourselves, is, are we becoming self-righteous in certain things and not looking at the weightier matters of the law? By no means am I justifying us to disobey God's laws. Please. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't put that into my mouth. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying God is merciful. God is very kind. God is very gracious. He wants to forgive us. He says God's patience is that we all may come to repentance. Now, many of us have seen our children maybe leaving the church, and after many years they start coming back to the church. And like the prodigal son, you're only too happy to see them coming back. How much more God is happy to see his or her son come back to the church, come back to the way, because there's repentance. That's what God wants. His patience is so that we all may come to repentance. And God is so much more patient than you and I. Thank God. And then look, continue reading on Psalm 136. Look at the last few verses here. Verse 23. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever, and give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. In this psalm, 26 times that phrase is used. I know it's 26 because that's the number of the verses, so that was easy for me to work that one out. But anyway, and there it is. It's just so beautiful. Brethren, I don't have to repeat to you, we all have plenty of reasons to be grateful, to be thankful. We just have to enumerate them one by one, and you'll be surprised. Start kind of thinking about it and say, wow, here's another one. Wow, here's another one. So think about that. Look at Amos chapter 4. Look at Amos chapter 4. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Amos chapter 4, verse 5. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the free all offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord. And because of that, I'll give you cleanliness of teeth. In other words, you want that food. You know, if you don't have food, your teeth will be clean. You really don't have to brush them that much. You know, it says, and lack of bread. And yet, you have not returned to me. But look at that. Offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Do you get it? In other words, God does not want you to give thanks with sin. Continue living in sin. You got to repent. You got to change. Yes, you got to offer the offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, but in a humble, serving, repentant attitude, then be grateful. The offer of thanksgiving with an arrogant, sinful attitude is not pleasing to God. So maybe we need to look at some of the sacrifices. Look at Leviticus 2, verse 11, where it, in the first five chapters of Leviticus, describes the five major sacrifices, or five major groups of sacrifices, let's put it that way. In Leviticus 2, verse 11, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, no grain which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in your offering to the Lord made by fire. It was when you take a lamb or take a piece of meat and you give it as a sacrifice, like a calf or a bull or whatever it is, when they went to offer sacrifice, you were not to offer with leaven. You are not to burn it with leaven. In other words, symbolically meaning in this instance, with sin. Because what's the good of you offering a sacrifice to God, but you continue sinning? God doesn't want that. We must repent of sin. We must be repentant. Now, there is an offering which is in chapter 3, which is the peace offering. The peace offering's got three kinds. It's like broken down into three groups, as we'll see in a moment. One of them, of the peace offering, is a thanksgiving. That's the peace offering. Another one is when you make a promise, a vow. And another one is as a special gift. Now, this was a peace offering, which was something that was pleasing to God. It was a sweet aroma. So, in a sense, means God would, quote-unquote, between inverted commas, not obviously that he would eat it, but he was enjoying that offering. You know, was pleasing to God, a sweet aroma. The first three offerings, in Leviticus 1, 2, and 3, are all sweet aromas to God. They're pleasing to God. But this third one is a peace offering, which is a sweet aroma to God. We're going to read some of those points there, but I'm just giving you an overall picture so that when we read it, it makes sense. And basically, it was pleasing to God, and it was also offering that the high priest could eat, and was also offering that the brethren could eat. So it was like, think of it like a big barbecue, where everybody would benefit from it, except the parts that you could not eat, like the fat that had to be burnt and things like that. But the priest had certain sections of it to eat, the breast, and the brethren had other, the people that are giving the offering had other section of it to eat. So everybody enjoyed. So in a sense, it showed a reconciliation between God and man, that all were benefiting from this offering, were having fellowship together as far as this offering. And so it was a unity and a fellowship type offering. And that's why it is an offering of thanksgiving. Because like for instance, we're going to have a little potluck here, our thanksgiving, and we're going to give thanks for the meal, and we all have fellowship with it. And God will be present, enjoying it, fellowshipping, and Christ obviously enjoys, sees the brethren, and we all eat together. And that eating, fellowshipping together is an offering, a pleasing offering to God. So, we read here in verse 1, Leviticus 3, when this offering is, his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, or whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And then look at verse 5. And Aaron's sons shall burn it, and it was the priest that shall burn it on the altar, and it was shall barbecue this on the altar, upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood, and on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Eternal. Now, Yah is the thing. It's a sweet aroma to God. And look in verse 11, like I mentioned, and the priest shall burn those parts on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. So the priest shall eat it as well. And look at verse 15. It says, Leviticus 7, which describes a little bit more in detail this offering, Leviticus 7, verse 11 and verse 15. It says, Leviticus 7, verse 11, verse 15 says, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And then on verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave it, any of it, until the morning. In other words, it's talking about the brethren to eat it, and they will eat it together. And so the priestly family will eat it. And look at verse 31 in the same chapter, chapter 7, verse 31. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons for the priestly family. So the breast will be for the priestly family, and they all are to eat it. But now let's look a little bit more in detail about this offering. It's still in chapter 7, Leviticus 7, verse 12. Look at it. If he offers it for a thanksgiving. Let me show you the three types. Verse 12 is talking about if he offers it for thanksgiving. The other two types are mentioned in verse 16. If the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering. So there's three types. It could be thanksgiving, or for a vow, or for a voluntary offering. There's three types that you could give this type of offering. Three occasions. But for thanksgiving, it says, if he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil. and leavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. In all cases, is unleavened and mixed with oil. In other words, without sin, and oil, which represents symbolically God's Holy Spirit. So it's an offering that you're doing without sin, in a repentant, sinless attitude, and that God's Holy Spirit is present in this giving of the offering. So, when I counsel people for baptism, and I've mentioned this before, I always highlight an important point about repentance. Because I always highlight that you repent from two things, two basic things. One is repent from dead works, or in other words, from what you have done. And then, second one is repent from what you are. Right? We are carnal human nature that we can't change. And that is sin. And that we got to repent and change. So our deeds, when we offer it, we got to be in a repentant attitude without those deeds. But the human nature is there, and the human nature is covered by Christ's blood and forgiveness, and it's part of the process that we got to change. That over time, because it's the sanctification of the Spirit over time, that we are changed from human nature to divine nature. And there, I'm not covering that subject at this moment, but just bringing that into the context to explain the point. Because that explains verse 13. You see, verse 12 is talking about what you've got to repent from what you've done without sin. But verse 13. And then, and it says, in the case of his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So, verse 12 is what you've done, and verse 13 is what you are. And that means you are not burning. These are separate cakes that you offer that represent what you are, and that is offered, and we can see this offering is done with the sprinkled with the blood of Christ, and therefore is covered by that. So that's just a little point there to mention. But the important point is in verse 20 as well. It says, but the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the eternal, while he is unclean, that means while he's unrepentant, that person shall be cut off from his people. So when we offer this, we must come with a repentant attitude without sin. A repentant attitude without sin. So we've got to be reconciled, and reconciliation through forgiveness of sins. And in other words, they would obviously do, for instance, a sin offering first to take the sin away, and then we'll do the thanks offering afterwards, after the sin is removed symbolically. But from an attitude, we have that the way God puts it there. So we have an offering here, which is an offering of thanksgiving. An offering of us giving thanks to God and to Jesus Christ for what they've done for us. And the other important point here is on verse 16. It says, and if the sacrifice of his offering... Now, verse 15, I beg your pardon. It says, the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave it till the next morning. If, however, it's for a vow, he can leave it for the next morning. Why? Because when you give thanks, you don't wait till tomorrow. You give thanks immediately. So when you have a situation where somebody does something for you, as soon as you remember, as soon as you know, as soon as you can, thank the person. Thank God. Don't wait till another time and postpone it. You've got to do it straight away. So there's a lot of things you and I can give thanks for. For instance, we can give thanks for the calling we have and for what Christ has done for us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I made reference to it a little earlier, but let's just look at that. Hebrews chapter 10. This is something that you and I can be so grateful for. Because the eye in Hebrews shows that these sacrifices were purely like a parable, like an analogy, like an example of the spiritual. And Hebrews chapter 10, it shows here that we now have access to the holiest of holiest, the true holiest of holiest, in heaven, where the Father is, through Christ, at any time. You see, in the Old Testament, they could only go to the holiest of holiest, would only be the high priest, and will only be on the Day of Atonement. Now, you and I can do it any time, and it's not to a physical holy of holies, but it's to the spiritual holy of holies in heaven, which the others were only, let's call it an analogy or a reminder. Therefore, in verse 19 of Hebrews 10 reads, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That is such a strong statement. It means you and I can enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus in boldness. How? By a new and living way. It's not the way of the Old Testament with sacrifices and going through to the physical high priest, and then he could only go there on the Day of Atonement. No, we have a new and living way, which is through Christ, which he consecrated for us through the veil that was torn when he died, and that is his flesh. And having high priest over the house of God, verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." We talked about being in the depths, in the deep, in the lurch, in trouble, in a ditch, whatever it is. We can come to God in a repentant attitude, ask that's justice, ask for his mercy, and then we need to walk in faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Walking in faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That means whatever is there can be washed out. Cleansed. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In other words, God is promising us this, and he does not lie. Therefore, you and I better believe it and walk in faith. It's our only hope. Now, this is something to be thankful. This is something to be really thankful. Let us draw fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Verse 23. For he was promised he faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up the love and good works. How do we consider one another to stir up love and good works? When we have fellowship and we talk to one another, we know about each other's difficulties and trials, we can pray for one another and we can stir up one another with fellowship, with good works and love. We can't do that by staying at home and have an armchair, whatever. We need fellowship. We need to help one another. And that's why we're here. Therefore, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, as you see the day of Christ coming. For, because, if you don't do this, what are you doing? For, if you don't come to Christ and God's throne through Christ's blood and in faith and counting Him as faithful, if we don't do and we're not showing therefore repentance and we are not coming in faith, we are sinning. And if we know about it, we're sinning willfully. That's why it puts that in the same context. After we receive the knowledge of the truth. So brethren, there's a lot for us to be grateful. We know God's plan. Plan of salvation. For us to be His sons and daughters in His royal family. The kingdom of God, as we know, is always, we have talked, there's four components. There's a king, there's a territory, there's laws, and there's people, subjects. But when you talk about the king, a kingdom is not just the king. The kingdom is the royal family. And you and I are called to be part of that royal family, that ruling family. What a blessing. What a blessing. As it says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. Thank you, Father. It is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. You read that in Luke 12:32 if you want to make a note of that. It is the Father's good pleasure that He's predestined us to be His children. You read that in Ephesians 1:5. Thank you, God, for that blessing. Philippians 2:13. Whatever you do, all the things you do, we give thanks for everything that we have. And now look at Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Reverend, don't forget, it's God that makes us wanting to repent. It's God's will for us to change. It's God's will for us to obey. Thank God that He's got that will for us. But look now in Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. So you and I have to mingle thanksgiving with our requests. According to God's will. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, when people are anxious, if you and I go to God with thanksgiving, when we are stressed, and we have all these anxiety thoughts, if we go to God with thanksgiving and we start thinking about the things that we received and count our blessings one by one, and then we make our prayers with that thanksgiving, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds and our thoughts through Christ Jesus. And you know what? No wonder some people in the world sometimes ask some people in the church, how can you still smile going through all these difficulties and stresses and trials? Because it's the peace of God that's in us. Brethren, in everything that we do, let us give thanks. It is a sweet aroma to God. It's a sacrifice of peace. It's a peace offering. A sacrifice of harmony. Do we count our blessings? Do we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving with joy and gladness straight away? For God's mercy endures forever.